Welcome to the Blacklist Redemption AfterBuzz After Show, Episode 4, Operation Davenport. I got the keys. That's it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I got the keys.
Yeah.
I got the keys.
My bad, Jay-Z imitation. Welcome to the Blacklist AfterBuzz. Blacklist Redemption After Buzz After Show.
Yes.
Hi, Aquafina. Episode. Oh, I love Jay-Z so much. Episode 4. The Davenport.
Operation Davenport.
Operation Davenport. Okay, so you can kill Khaled and Future and Jay-Z. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, as always, by the lovely Julia Carey.
Hi, Joe Brazzy. You are so much
distracted.
More alive than last week.
Oh, God, I was on my deathbed last week.
You were
stupid. South by Southwest. Killing me.
Got you good.
Oh, my God, it got me. Yeah, I'm so much better. I have so much energy. Not blowing my nose every 5 seconds, hacking away. Like,
that was out of control.
I'm like, one more thing. was not good. Joe Sanfilippo, he's not coming, is he?
No, he's out.
I think Joe Sanfilippo is officially out.
Yeah.
On Blacklist Redemption.
No flip-a-do.
Damn that guy.
I know.
We'll make it.
I know.
Just the two of us.
You're all I need, Brazzy.
Oh, well, you're all I need, Jules. Aww. Also, Andrew Martin. Andrew Martin is, you know, and Ivan. And Watson Keen, all you folks who are joining us as always, thank you for waiting for us as always. We're of course a little late, but it's tough. Blacklist Redemption has been tough to do, folks. Yeah. Let me tell you right now, we're doing it.
We're in it
because we're 5 years strong on the Blacklist. What is it?
Has it been 5 years?
We're in season 4. Oh. Yeah, and then this is down to 4 years anyway. Ivan says Howard is insane. I agree.
I concur.
So we got this episode, Operation Davenport. Lots to talk about. We've got black sites in New York City. We've got male prostitutes and some with questionable loyalties. We've got
are prostitutes loyal?
I don't know. Loyal to the Monday.
Yeah.
So wait, did she? Well, I want to get back.
Okay,
to that.
Okay.
We've got Scotty hot on the trail of finding out who are. If her son's alive, or so we thought, mm-hmm. We get a little more backstory onto other folks, like such as Dumont.
Yeah,
you know, like there Dumont's got a millennial brother who's a pain in the ass.
Yep,
don't angry we all? yeah, you know, there's a learn a lot. Your girl Nez is adjusting her nose a lot. She's very like. I gotta ask you about that too because I don't know what the hell's going on with this Nez. And then Tom and Solomon are awesome.
They're my favorite.
They're just.
I just want them.
Yeah, I like everyone, but they're pretty good.
But they're really the best.
We can talk about their improv.
They
act.
Have fun.
We can talk
Everyone
about
else
the,
has fun
their,
on the show.
Their improv act in the kitchen was
so
was,
good.
Was
I could
great.
Watch that all day long.
It's pretty funny.
Hey, what is Tupac's middle name?
Yeah, you know what?
Does Tupac have a middle name?
Yeah, it's
what is it?
The red. What is Tupac's middle name? Does Tupac have a middle name?
That's what I just asked.
I don't know. Joseph.
Oh.
Tupac Joseph Shakur. If only there are a machine.
If only.
That I can look the stuff up on that were at my fingertips. I don't know Tupac's had a middle name.
I don't know.
Anywho.
It'll be the eternal question.
What's that?
Oh, Amaro.
Doy.
Oh, Amaru. Duh. Oh, look, there it is. Tupac Amaru Shakur.
There it is. I knew that. Amaru? Amarhu? Anyway, Blacklist Redemption. yeah, so lots of stuff going on. And then we've got the cooperation of NSA or CIA who need the initial cooperation of Scotty? Like, whose black site was that, by the way? Which agency?
Oh,
with the CIA black site.
Well,
NSA
Jack,
black site.
The guy who ran the cybersecurity, who's the
he's a
big
private
bad
contractor.
At the end of this, he was the private contractor, but
right.
The NSA was using their company to back up all their
right.
stuff.
So this also shines light. I mean, well, let's get so basically we start this episode with sort of a, what is a jailbreak. It turns out to be a jailbreak. There's a black site in the middle of Manhattan, which already is insane. Who believes that?
I mean, in the middle. I like that they addressed it though.
Yeah.
That like that's a little bit ridiculous. I understand it has to happen in Manhattan because that's where everything is happening in this show, in this universe. But that they addressed it. Who does that? She says, "I don't know, but we're dealing with it." That's sort of how we all have to approach it.
There's a black site in the middle of Manhattan, why do we put Red Reddington out in the tanker in the middle of the? Wasn't Red in a weird? Where was his
cube?
In Kilo's cube.
Yeah, that was somewhere at sea.
Yeah, it's throw him in the.
Because that's Red Reddington, and that is
what the show in Manhattan
sorely lacking.
Anyway, how are we feeling about them? Let's get in general. How are we feeling about Blacklist: Colon Redemption so far?
In episode one, I was like, eh. Episode two, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Episode three, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Episode four,
meh. Okay.
There you go. That's my eloquent.
I was very eloquent. Just hot review. Julie Keeley says, I actually liked this episode probably a little more than you did because I do like the cyber, action components.
Say I'm not very good or I don't have very much attention span when it gets super techy.
Right.
You know, then I'm just like, okay. Then they're just throwing around a lot of big words and a lot of acronyms and I don't know what's going on. I can't even drop a pin, as we know. So,
okay. Well,
that's how I feel.
It's let's see. I like a good sort of we've got some fugitives on the run from the black site. The black site's been hit. We got five fugitives identified as these five people. We've got to hunt them down. Get him, Scotty. We need your help. Like all that. It's like, yeah, get him, Scotty.
Yeah, that part was fun.
I loved all that. And then, actually, so hunting down the people and then figuring out what they're up to. I kind of like the idea of that. I think the promise of that didn't really deliver on what that ended up being. You know, I wanted more, you know, the fugitive. Yeah. I wanted more U.S. Marshal fugitive style.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stuff. And I got a lot of like nothing. A lot of keymasters in the room.
Oh, The Fugitive, though. Okay. I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
I didn't do it.
I don't care. What accent was that?
I don't know.
So we open this. I love seeing Scotty. This time we did see a very much in control Scotty because we have a situation where both the private security guy and the NSA guy are like looking to her. Well, at least the NSA guy is looking to her like, look, we need your help in this, Scotty. And she plays hardball with him because the private security guy is like, you don't have the clearance for that. A bit of a, something swinging there. I don't want to say what. I almost said, never mind. Last time someone said, don't cuss so much.
Oh.
In our chat room.
I'm sorry.
So I don't want to be too, vulgar. But there was a lot of swinging.
There was a lot of swinging.
A lot of swinging. And
she's, a lot of ego.
A lot of ego swinging around. And she said, I need full control. I need to do this my way.
Yeah.
Because I'm Scotty. That's right. And so, but before that, I want to get into this whole thing with what's his name? The prostitute's name?
Trevor.
With Trevor.
/ Dan.
AKA Dan.
Yeah.
I'm the most interested in the Trevor, Scotty, Blondie love triangle than I am anything else in the entire show.
The shady assistant,
Kat Carlson. Okay, who the F is Kat Carlson?
I don't know.
Tell me.
Well, I predicted last week that she was shady, that there was something wrong with her, that she was up to something. I don't know what. She knows too much. She's the only one who knows about Howard. Not that Howard is alive, but she's Scotty's number one gal.
Right. Was she introduced last week only? I feel like this is the first time we saw her. I asked this question before.
Have we seen her before? Last week. Because she was the one who had to put together, when they did like the deep dive into everything that was going on, that was her.
Yeah. But is that the first time we've seen her?
I don't know.
Has she been on since day one?
Maybe. I don't know.
Can anyone help me with this? I don't know. Okay,
but she's here now.
She's here now. And so Scotty sent her over to take care of Trevor.
Bring breakfast
to Trevor. Mm-hmm. Now... But she went in person, right? And what was the whole thing like, why didn't you just call me?
It's true.
And she went over there to check him out.
Yeah, well, he's hot.
Right. There's something weird about this whole thing. I don't find her I don't know. She's bothering me. I think the way she was sort of this cool, sort of steely, blonde, mysterious blonde woman worked. But in the context of her talking to Trevor, I didn't...
Yeah.
I don't know that I... It's so weird to me. I didn't really necessarily find her super seductive or sexy or believable
anything. Okay, that's fair. I don't know if she's supposed to be seductive. Well, I thought sort of steely, British, corporate, all about her job. But, you know, she's got to get laid, too.
I guess, but it seems like that they're trying very much to infuse. It feels like a note, like a network note. Like, we don't have enough sex. We don't have enough, like, yeah. You know, because there's no real relationships. Because, obviously, Tom is the center, but he's with Lizzie. So Tom can't be with all these people. He can't really flirt.
Yeah, that's going to get old. I want to see Tom doing it.
Yeah, we want to see Tom doing it, right?
Yeah, so
Tom's
really
so Tom's out. Like, Solomon's, like, aloof somewhere. I mean, yeah. I guess Nez will have somebody we'll have to figure out. Dumont's, like, not, you know, no, there's no inner office, like, hanky-panky going on, right?
No.
No wrestler Tom-Lizzie love triangle in this.
And no one seems to have a family or relationships or anything that we know of yet. We're only in episode 4.
So we got Scotty, who's, they've made, you know, they've given Scotty a hot, you know, gigolo.
Mm-hmm.
Male prostitute, if you will.
Yeah, indeed I will.
An American gigolo. And then so the only love triangle they can come up with is this woman,
Cat
and her. And it just feels forced. It feels like the whole Cat character was introduced for this purpose only. And then they introduced her and I don't even buy her as like the whole thing wasn't even sexy to me. I don't know. I mean, I just bothered by the whole thing.
I kind of was too. I didn't really understand to what end this is. If she, maybe it's more about Trevor/Dan than it is about Cat. Because he sort of seduced her in. Maybe he's hired by someone else to get to Scotty.
Yeah. How's the seduction game? How would you rate him? Would you have gone in there and had a little breakfast?
Probably.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'd have a bagel. Wink. Just kidding. All I do every show is talk about how I want to sleep with dudes.
Do you?
I don't know. It's like the fourth time I say it. Like, all right. Maybe it was Bates Motel. Every podcast I do, I talk about how many dudes I want to sleep with.
Oh.
That's a revelation.
Well.
Guess what? I don't want to sleep with any dudes.
Okay.
You wouldn't know that from this podcast.
You sure would.
Anyway. So apparently, you know, Kat goes in to talk, do the do, or whatever they do, and it's fine. Okay, so.
And P.S., are they going to have, like, a relationship, or is she going to hire him?
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, because I think the whole notion of, like, my real name's Dan, which means, like, you don't have to pay me. Or is she paying him? Like, you paid him, Scotty. I'll pay him, too. But is she loyal to Scotty? Like, how is she effing Scotty's man?
How could this be, like, a breach of loyalty because she pays this man to have sex with her?
I know, but she could say, like, hey, you know, hope you don't mind if I take him for a ride, too. I got some cash.
Yeah.
This guy's like, be my guest. And they can high-five each other. Like you gals do, right?
That's what we do, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Over cigars in the locker room?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Snapping towels?
Snapping towels. I don't know. So
anyways, we'll see how that plays out.
We'll see how it all plays out. Okay, so back to the thing. Dan. So there's a crazy breakout in the spot.
Five
super bad dudes get loose. They're all like sort of, are they all cyber dudes? Or
no.
Like two
we
of
have a terrorist
dudes?
Bomber, the right. Cyber hacktivist, an Aryan Freedom Force founder,
right?
A Chechen separatist,
yes,
and some British guy who killed an American diplomat and operates terrorist training camp.
Now, I went down there to check it all out, and then they got the lead on the house because there was a call for a break in. They got a call for a break in immediately. Is that what happened? And then they intercepted the call.
They intercepted the 911 call,
which was very cool. Why were all three of them together? I missed this part.
Well, I think it had something to do with the fact that that helped narrow down where other people would be, because the breakout, when they realized that it was deliberate,
right,
that it was a breakout, not an accident,
okay,
that anyone who orchestrated it would have already had a plan in place and had a place to stay, not just breaking into some dude's house.
Got it. Okay, got it.
So it was sort of just like a process of elimination.
Right. I do love the idea of, you know, Solomon and Tom going down there, checking it out, going their silencers on, you know, clearing a room. Mm-hmm. I trust those. I feel like those guys are going to do anything. They clear the room. They find the dude tied up. Mm-hmm. And there's a bit of a showdown with Tom finding the one guy. And Tom, I feel like Tom could talk out of anything, by the way.
He wasn't that good with the police, though. He usually can. I thought he'd be better.
Yeah, he's a little
he was like, a little sloppy. Maybe at the station I could, maybe it yeah, would be easier like, and more comfortable. No, you look shady as heck.
And like, no, don't go in there. Don't go in there, you know.
Yeah.
But he did, you know, sort of initially almost talk his way out of the thing. Solomon came out. There's a bit of a standoff. And they did some cool moves. I think what happened, Tom did a move. Like who got who
there
first?
Were moves. I don't know. There were moves all over. I don't know.
This is stuff I care about.
I don't know who struck first.
This is stuff I care about. I thought it was cool.
They won.
Todd did some cool moves in there. Solomon got him. They choked the guy out. They won. I like the idea of the two guys going in there and handing this out. Look, we got a split screen.
Oh.
Isn't that neat? Two guys. We can't do that with Flippo here.
Nope.
So there.
So good riddance.
Good riddance. Anyway, I do like the idea of those guys taking out everyone else. But then NYPD shows up. Tom has a stall. This is like a weird episode of Three's Company or something. Like Mr. Furley kind of comes and checks on the kids. It was very much like, I don't know. Chrissy's in the shower right now. That's her singing right now. And that's one of those weird moves. But anyway, that was cool. But then they break out into what was probably the best moment of the entire series so far, which is their crazy improv routine and Solomon and his crazy New York accent.
So good.
Very good. And, I loved it. I loved every bit of it.
Loved it.
There's some highlights that Jody put here from there, which were obviously what's the maximum sentence for fixing a racist man's sink? I've seen your artwork. And you ain't got no black artists. And of course, what is Tupac's middle name that we now know? That was good stuff.
That was great.
All fun. It scared the police off. Would the police just leave? Whoa, guys! You guys seem to have got it under control.
Yeah, they did.
Too much yelling for us.
We did.
We're out of here.
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
I guess so.
There's no attempt.
I'll let you guys settle that yourself.
Right.
All right.
Like you guys, like
you don't need us.
He's got a wrench. He's waving a wrench around.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
best part of the entire show so far.
Yeah.
Do you think they really improved that? I hope they did because it was really funny.
They might have. It was good. So all that happened. They realize that they then get all those people in custody.
Yep.
Then what's the other sort of a cyber trail thing that they did to when they threw on the ice outfits, the ice jackets to go get the guy
when
in
they
the
went to go get the driver who right. obviously was hired
right,
and then he realized that something was amiss, and then he bolted and got hit by a car.
Right? Did he die?
He looked kind of dead.
Oh, God, I hate that.
I hate it when people die too.
Well, no, it's also another weird like trope. One of my favorite words when they sort of run away and they're chasing him
and
they get hit by a car. Like, why can't these perps like look out for the car? And I don't know. I feel like I've never been driving full speed and have someone run in front of me and I'm just run them over.
Hopefully not. I hope that never happens to you.
Like once. All right.
Just once. Anyway. Just so you can say it happened.
Anyway, so
who runs from Tom Keene? Come on, man. He didn't look that fit.
I want to go back to the Nez thing really quickly. Like, what? So she's on the dope.
What is she taking?
What is she taking?
I don't know, but it's not, obviously.
I know, but nosy. I think we're supposed to be led to believe that it's not cocaine because, I mean, I'm no expert in drugs or cocaine, but like, from what I do know about cocaine, that didn't seem like a lot of cocaine. For her to have like that little bit for whatever amount of money she had, she did reference the sort of crazy enhancement drugs mm-hmm. that they had in the cocktail that they used
in Russia.
Yeah, what do you call it? The Operation or like
Independence USA.
So I don't know if it's that or some hybrid version of some super street drug or that stuff that your boy Tom Cruise was taking in Minority Report where he like did the drug. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, but that was like a futuristic weird thing.
I don't know. Well, this is futuristic. What compound of it? What drugs is she taking?
I don't know.
What were the Russians giving her?
I don't know. See? They were doping her up.
That's what I'm saying.
To make her super strong.
So she came in, and it's heavy. She goes and asks the guy for more, and he's like, it'll cost double that. Like, how much, you know?
I feel like she makes a lot of money.
Like, Scotty's not paying her to risk her life?
Yeah.
Was she on a cop salary? Is she making like 75 grand a year? She can't afford an extra $85 for a little more dope?
I don't know.
She's like, yeah.
I was a little shocked by that.
To the point where she's gonna flip her? like, I'll give you some more dope, but if you give me some information, that $85 is worth all the information you need. Like, that's terrible, right? None of that makes any sense to me.
It doesn't make sense to me. Maybe she had, I don't know, maybe, who knows how she spends her money. Maybe she has a long-lost daughter somewhere she's paying for.
Well, thankfully, he couldn't flip her, and she just took the dope.
Took what she could get.
Are we supposed to be proud of that?
Well...
Like, Ned, you tell him that.
Yeah, you stand up to your drug dealer. You only take half the dope.
Get all the dope. And what is happening with her? Are we supposed to be sympathetic? Are we supposed to be suspicious? Are we supposed to be like, how are we supposed to feel? This is where the show is like not doing a good job in character development to me, because I love all these people because I think they're all, you know, very, you know, smart and hot and actiony and cool. But, like, as characters, what's going on back there?
I don't know. I don't know yet.
Are you feeling anything?
No, I feel flat.
Okay.
You know? That's what it feels like to me. They're giving, for example, Nez are giving her this affectation, but without anything to back it up. She had a little, you know, quick little speech last week, but it was very elusive. It was vague.
Yeah.
You know? It just sort of showed that she was loyal to Howard. But that's really all.
Right. Separately, if we didn't really go back to this whole, and I agree with you guys. Yeah. They said stupid Nez addiction storyline. Why? Ivan says 77K a year for benefit package. Maybe the dealer's just playing for info. I don't care for Nez. I don't know. I agree.
I don't know.
So is that.
She's not my favorite so far. Let's put it that way. I mean, she's hot and she's badass and she's really good at stealing cars every episode.
Yeah, but she's not giving me anything but a little scowl. She's like the female Ice Cube at this point. Yeah. She's kind of giving me anything but like.
Yeah, she's not doing it for me.
She can steal a mean car.
She can steal a mean car.
Yeah.
But she just has no. Tom has wit. Solomon has wit out the wazoo.
Yeah.
You know, they're fun to watch. She's just like.
Tough gal.
Boring.
Right now, I think we saw this before. Who wins, Navabi or Nez in a street fight? Ooh.
Mm. They have fought, right?
They have.
They did fight.
Oh, no, that's a tough one.
A lot of curly hair all over the place.
Yeah.
It's a hot girl fight.
That's a hot girl fight, I'll tell you that much. I know a web show, what web series I like to see. anyway, so go back. So then they did some more sort of cyber digging, tracing things.
Well, then after that, Tom goes to meet with Howard.
Right.
About Scotty finding out about his adoptive parents.
Yeah, he's freaking out.
And that she's going to find out. I thought it was an interesting tidbit of information that he was with them until he was 14 years old.
Yeah.
It just seems kind of young.
Yeah. Also, for a super hyper secure spot office, there's a lot of eavesdropping going on. A lot of Tom.
It's so easy.
A lot of Tom walking by offices also, and like leaning in, like. Huh?
Also, did you notice on his phone when he's texting with Howard, it says Howard. Like you think he would have come up with a different name, anything, an alias, big fat H.
Exactly.
Howard.
And also at this point, like, we just know from WikiLeaks and other things that were surveillance and such. Don't you think that they would be able to, when they have Tom's phone at this point?
Wouldn't he have, like, a company-issued phone?
And wouldn't be able to, like, mirror his text messages? He's just texting away and Sky's like, whatever. You know, like, oh, I'm checking a source. All that stuff. None of that stuff flies. But anyway.
Makes no sense to me.
We'll take it.
But that's okay.
We'll take it at face value.
Howard. My not-dead dad.
I gotta take this. Don't
it's look, my not-dead dad. It's don't fine. Don't worry this. About it.
Jesus. Anyway, so.
So he meets up with his dad. Yes. And to finish off with this storyline specifically. He says, you know, your guy is Brian, what's his name? Mayhew. Mm-hmm. He just drops it off just like that. Like nobody's business. So that's how they find out who like the mastermind behind all of this
is. And this is also like he got it by working a source. This guy's like, really? What source? He's like, oh, I'd rather keep it private. Again, bad liar, Tom.
Yeah.
I didn't believe Tom in that
moment.
Could have
said anything.
Anything. I didn't believe in that moment. Like, I don't know. So, okay.
So from there, he gives them that information. It's Brian Mayhew. And then we get to Dumont, who knows another angry millennial.
Yes, which happens to be his brother.
Yes.
And we get in some Dumont backstory, which I get. I appreciate. I appreciate it. Just trying to give us.
His half-brother, because he said your dad was right.
Right. Well, I appreciate you trying to give us a little backstory in Dumont. But again, I don't know. Did you care?
No.
Were you interested?
For a minute.
Then you met the guy and he's like, the man. Just
an angry millennial.
Ugh. All right. None of that landed for me. I'm really, really disappointed by all those small elements. Here's the other question I have for you. Howard's theory, his cockamamie theory, which he left us with last week, that is that Scotty is a reprogrammed Russian sleeper agent.
She's a Scotty clone.
Cut to look like the real Scotty. Why the hell is she so emotional?
Yes, that's why I don't buy it.
She's so emotional behind closed doors, only with the blondie. Like, she's confiding in her and her, like girlfriends. And, you know, I don't know.
She's confiding in her gigolo.
In her gigolo.
In the arms of her gigolo. Let me just lay out all my feelings. You're so easy to talk to, Trevor.
Yeah, he's like, all right, leave the money on the counter.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know. Okay. I'm having trouble.
Yeah, I know.
The more I talk about it, the more trouble I'm having.
I feel you, man.
All right. But we do get to this point where Tom, so we find out that there is this, the real thing here is there's this crazy internet, seven keys to the internet party.
Seven keys to the internet. When that happened, I'm sorry. This is what I was like, glazed donut. That's what I turned into.
So there's seven keys to the internet?
Apparently. I don't think this is true.
Okay.
I don't feel like this is a thing, but
right.
We live in a fantasy world here.
So the whole my man's whole thing was, I'm going to take the guy out, replace him with one of my guys, mm-hmm. go in there, get one of the seven keys to the internet, mm-hmm. unlock the back door of the internet, mm-hmm. go in, and then get my NSA knock list, right?
Yeah, well said.
Okay. That's a foolproof plan.
Well said.
So, and in order to clear his name.
Yes, to exonerate him.
And again, if you watch Billions, which you should, you would recognize him, the guy. What's his name? The main hacker kid?
Oh, and this? Oh, Brian Mayhew.
Brian, you'd recognize Brian Mayhew as Oliver from Billions, who's an investigator hot on the trail of Paul Giamatti.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's great. So I don't know.
So also we have to say what he was looking to clear his name for. He was in that prison because he was accused of stealing a missile system from the NSA.
Right.
And emailing and selling and emailing them to Iran.
All very Snowden-ish, Snowden-esque stuff. Right?
Yeah.
And yeah, it also opens the question of, you know, what information should be shared, what shouldn't be shared, what you're allowed to download, what they're not allowed to download. They had a little commentary on that at the end, you know, with Tom's like, is any of this stuff, could any of this stuff, you know, put American lives in harm's way? And he's like, no. So go ahead then, share it away.
I'm Tom. I don't know if that was the right thing to do, but okay.
Yeah, I'm on your side at the end of the day. Spy to spy.
Spy to spy.
I don't know. Anyway. So, okay. So, he gets in there. Tom and Nez break in there. There's kind of a showdown, but he uploads the thing just in time. Now, why doesn't Tom, are you afraid of what he's uploading or downloading or any of that stuff? Why let him complete that upload? I feel like you shoot him, or you not shoot him, you shoot the computer, you do something, but he let the upload complete.
I guess he sort of convinced him otherwise, saying, right. I'm not the bad guy.
Right. So,
and his friend saying, he's a patriot.
Right. So how soon into the game did you know that the private security contractor was the bad guy?
I didn't. Oh, I mean, I knew he was a shady character, but like I said, I'm not good at all the tech stuff. So I can't predict anything that happens in these things.
It was very, again, very Scooby-Doo. That ending was very, I would have got away with it if it weren't for you, meddling kids, you dumb dog. Like his little speech at the end when Tom calls him. Yeah. And he's like, hello, stand down, stand.
Oh, yeah, also.
Down.
In the room. You're still in the room with these guys. He's like, Zachary, stand down, Zachary.
I think he's around the corner.
We're just accusing you of, because we just showed you the picture of him.
And basically Mike dropped his way out of there like, well, I don't know what you're talking about, because you guys are all stupid. Mike drop. Zachary, we're blown. Zachary, is that you? Oh, it's you, Tom Keen. Well, you guys don't understand the way this country works. He gives me a few good men's speech.
Oh.
He gives me the Colonel Jessel speech at the end.
Oh my god, that was really good.
Anyway.
Thank you for that.
I don't know. Yeah.
So poor Brian Mayhew was framed all along.
All along.
Boom. He's sitting in that hole.
Sitting in the hole all along, but then he got justice and was able to go
yes.
at the end, which is great. But yeah, like, and he begins that little speech, which is, again, sort of like, you know, secure. I'm a patriot, and the next war is going to be a cyber war, and I'm the guy to stop it, and you guys are locking me up. It was very, very Colonel Jessup from Few Good Men. I kind of like those speeches, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind them. But also, where was the moment where Nez got out of the car, walked around to look at the face of the guy that she shot, to really understand that face, and then the next day or later that night, going through all the footage of that cafe and spotting that one guy that she killed, that she didn't even look at, walking around in the background, showing that to Scotty, and Scotty gives some sort of speech about some operation 14 months ago.
I don't know. I've got three words. Highly trained operative. Highly trained operative. She's trained for this stuff. How thin too, right? Okay.
So thin.
We also forgot the fact that Scotty was closing on the parents. She went to go visit the parents.
Yep.
It was a big...
It was the parents. I was in for that.
Yeah.
I wanted to see how that was going to turn out. Suspenseful
thing. Yes. And then it turns out that their parents were actors. The kid was a fake kid with a...
Big birthmark.
She's visibly upset about this. So, you know, none of this... I mean, but...
I did really enjoy that reveal.
I did like that reveal too. Because I was like, what's going to happen? I'm like, that's not Tom.
Yeah.
And then the birthmark, just in case we thought it was Tom. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What if you're the actors hired by Howard to go and deceive Scotty, who allegedly is not Scotty. She's the Russian sleeper agent posing as Scotty, who therefore would not care about her son or her son. Like, wouldn't you want to report back, like, how did she act? Does she seem disappointed? Like, she seemed genuinely bummed.
Yeah.
Genuinely disappointed. And if it's Scotty who doesn't give a shit because she's a Russian sleeper agent, then why go through the great lengths of taking her off the scent of her real son?
If she was if it's not Scotty's real Scotty in the first place, she wouldn't give a hoop.
A rat's patootie.
about, trying to find the opposite
shouldn't give her a rat's patootie.
No.
And if you hired these folks, if you thought, like, well, maybe this is a real Scotty, wouldn't you want the actors to say, like, you know, when you did that move, did she seem upset? And she did.
She did.
Meanwhile, Howard's convinced. Howard's story is not fucking holding water to me. I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. I'm sorry.
I can't believe Tom's buying it either.
I mean, I'm with you. He's crazy.
He's crazy.
Okay. So, all right. So... All that happens, you know.
Also, if you were the private investigator that Howard originally hired, but now you're working for Scotty, but you're really still working for Howard,
right.
Why would you give him the real names of the parents?
Oh yeah.
Why?
Yeah, give him fake names, fake parents. Because oh man. Yeah.
Anyway, so let's talk about, because we're running out of time, let's talk about Howard for 1 second, I guess, okay. In this whole Whitehall operation.
So he's only cares about Whitehall.
Yes, which is one of my favorite wineries, right. P.S. Whitehall Lane.
All right. And
I almost brought a bottle in for the show.
The Whitehall. So he's obsessed with Whitehall, which seems to be a off-the-books mission, black ops mission, within an off the books private security company. So it's double secret off the books.
Yeah.
And he wants to get to the bottom of what that is.
He went to go investigate it. People that he sent to investigate mysteriously disappeared.
Right.
And then Scotty started to gaslight him.
Right. And he believes that whatever's going on with Scotty is somehow, you find what Whitehall is, we'll find out whatever. So his plan is to eventually let Tom get so in with Scotty that Scotty spills the Whitehall thing over cocktails or something.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of walls, let me tell you about Whitehall. Todd's going to go down.
I don't know.
All right. Scotty's also got suspicious and she put Mr. Solomon on him.
Yes.
Mr. Solomon was tailing him around, so didn't quite get, you know, he didn't quite get him to Howard, but I don't know where this is going.
I have no idea.
Maybe we should start do predictions.
Okay.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay. What the F?
I guess I sort of alluded to it earlier. Well, last week I thought that Shady Cat was shady, but now I think maybe it's Shady Gigolo.
I think taking her chances against the most powerful woman in all of Washington, D.C., the most powerful covert head of a incredibly powerful covert private security firm. She's like, yeah, I'm going to have sex with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
I'm just going
to
do that.
But I think maybe Dan / Trevor is up to something.
Yeah.
I think Kat's dumb and Dan is trying to get in somehow, learn some information. I think he was hired to do this.
All right.
That's what I got.
Oh. Ooh, I like this. Ivan Soto says, Dan is Whitehall. Wait, who's Dan?
Dan Trevor.
Oh.
Gigolo.
Oh, yeah. My prediction is like there's some weird thing where Tom finds out that Howard is Whitehall and Howard's like, so somewhere thing where I feel like Howard's like not all there. Like he's got some dementia or something.
But Whitehall is a place, isn't it?
I thought it was an operation.
I thought it was like a place, like a warehouse.
Oh, okay. I thought it was an operation.
I think that's...
Or is it a code name?
I think it's a code name for it.
For an operation. Okay. All right.
I don't know.
Well, the promo for this week looks pretty amazing on the plane.
Yeah, it looks like fun.
So
it looks like a Solomon and Tom show, so I'm totally in.
So I'm really worried. Andrew Martin says, what if Scotty... was switched like Howard said, and she's really Katarina. Yeah, Katarina. I thought of that too. Did I say that?
I think we've mentioned that.
Yeah, that could
she's
be
Katarina.
That because there's a Russian connection again.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I got. I don't know. That's a good one.
Like she's Katarina who went into the Russian program and then they cut her up and did all the plastic surgery to make her look like Scotty.
Something like this, yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
I could buy that.
Maybe.
That's fun.
All right. All right, that's all I got. We'll see what happens to the plane next week. Right? No?
Yeah, sorry. I'm trying to really decipher that in my head.
Jewels go in the corset.
The jewels get sewn into the corsets. That's how it works.
Where can the kids find you?
Find me on Twitter and on Instagram with my name, Julia Carely, JULIACEARLEY. And then here for Bates Motel and then regular Blacklist.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Joe K. Braswell and on Snapchat at JK Braz, right? JBraz on Snapchat. You guys are wonderful. Thank you so much, Golden Tone, Watson Key, and Andrew Martin, Ivan Soto, for checking us out. We appreciate you guys. And we will see you all next week. Thank you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.